Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, March 18th. Coming up, we'll learn about who is running in the April 1st Champaign Unit 4 school board race. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The ongoing bird flu outbreak has affected a variety of species, threatening raptors and waterfowl as well. IPM student reporter Brenton Gallion has more.
A recent bird flu outbreak killed over 1,500 sandhill cranes in Indiana earlier this month. There's some concern that the disease could spill over and have a devastating effect on already threatened species. University of Illinois Wildlife Medical Clinic Director Dr. Stephanie Lewis says that birds with small populations are the most at risk.
Our hope is that the populations that have large numbers will come out of these outbreaks reasonably okay, but more susceptible populations that have smaller numbers, or maybe there's a large concentration of them in a small space, those are the populations that we're most worried about.
No cases have been found in the endangered whooping cranes yet, but public health officials in Champaign County say the presence of bird flu in sandhill cranes and other species is concerning. I'm Brendan Gallion, IPM News.
100 years ago today, the Tri-State Tornado, considered the deadliest tornado in recorded U.S. history, ripped through southern Illinois. Weather experts say alert systems and technology used to track storms have come a long way since then. Justin Biggs is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Paducah, Kentucky, which sits on the southern Illinois border. He says public education on tornadoes has also come a long way.
Okay, it's time to take cover, because the tornado will be there. Stop what you're doing, turn the sirens on, you know, turn your phones on, wake everybody up and get moving. Just imagine if we could have done that, you know, in 1925, how much different things could have been.
The Tri-State Tornado traveled 219 miles, starting in southeast Missouri and petering out in southwest Indiana. The monstrous twister left nearly 700 people dead and more than 2,000 injured. Hundreds of military bases across the U.S. have suspected or known reports of water contamination from forever chemicals, or PFAS. One of those bases is the retired Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. IPM student reporter Alyssa Eaton has more on the ongoing cleanup efforts there.
Over $76 million worth of cleanup work remains at the Chanute location. This, after $200 million have already been put into cleaning up toxic chemicals that were used in a fire-extinguishing foam called AFFF, which contains PFAS chemicals that are linked to different cancers. Air Force Environmental Coordinator Paul Carroll says that Chanute used a lot of this foam.
Chanute developed or pioneered the use of AFFF for the Air Force in 1970. So it was a huge firefighting training activity going on there for several decades before the base closed.
The village of Rantoul reacquired the land and assets of the retired military base in 2023. Officials could not be reached for comment despite repeated calls inquiring about the next steps in the cleanup. I'm Alyssa Eaton, IPM News.
This story was co-reported by Saeed Nonoal for CU Citizen Access. The state and a right-leaning publisher of dozens of websites is settling a lawsuit over its publication of sensitive information about millions of Illinois voters. Dave McKinney has more.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul sued local government information services last May. The lawsuit alleged the Lake Forest-based company published restricted voter data maintained by the State Board of Elections, including dates of birth and home addresses for many registered voters, including domestic violence victims and law enforcement officials. But the state dropped its lawsuit earlier this year in a settlement agreement. In exchange, LGIS agreed to destroy any restricted voter roll information it possessed and to refrain from publishing it again. The company was not fined, nor did it admit liability or criminal wrongdoing. Raoul's office said it was pleased the case is resolved. This is Dave McKinney.
Still to come, we'll learn about who is running in the April 1st Champaign Unit 4 school board race. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast. Here's a look at your forecast from IPM meteorologist Andrew Pritchard. For today, partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 75 degrees. South wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 54 degrees. South wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and breezy, a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high of 68 degrees. South wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of light rain or snow and a low of 32 degrees, southwest wind 20 miles per hour. And for Thursday, cloudy and breezy with snow flurries and a high of 46 degrees, northwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, Illinois Congressman Sean Casten on that spending deal, the Democratic Party, and how it's going in Washington.
We're taking door one, which is to embrace fascism, and that is a constitutional crisis.
Plus, a deep dive into tariffs and Illinois' role in global trade. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. There's a crowded field of candidates running for the Champaign Unit 4 School Board. In recent years, board members have clashed with one another and administrators, and many candidates are running to heal the divided board. IPM's education reporter Emily Hayes put together a guide on our website so voters can learn more about the candidates and their views ahead of the election on April 1st. Emily Hayes joins me now to talk about what she learned. Emily, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Emily, there are 11 candidates running for 5 seats. What can you tell us about them?
There are a lot of parents. At the League of Women Voters meet and greet, I met Carl Geisler. His youngest child is graduating soon, and his whole family went to Jefferson and Centennial.
It was requested, you know, be a voice for Centennial, but also be a voice for the greater community.
He works in business development. There is also one incumbent, Mark Holm, who works in finance. And then there are a lot of different occupations. There's nurse, professor, business people. Charles Drill Young is a therapist and social worker.
I have to collaborate. I work with youth and families, child and family team meetings. I work with law enforcement.
Justin Michael Hendricks has been an associate teacher and is a student at the University of Illinois College of Education.
Out of the 26 of us, only 2 of us are staying local after graduation. So that's a big defeat that we are now losing of potential teachers.
Emily, for this voter guide, you asked the candidates all yes or no questions about their positions on the issues. Was there anything they said that stuck out to you?
One question that seems to be really dividing the candidates this year is whether they would keep the superintendent contract going after it ends next year. So Alberto Molina says the superintendent has helped create division on the board.
One of the main reasons the board is divided is because she has convinced 3 board members then they need to be with her, 100%.
He founded a bilingual school in Nicaragua and plans to be a full-time board member if elected in Champaign. Fatima Ahmed is a biostatistician at the University of Illinois. She said she respects the superintendent, but she agrees that the stalemate will continue if the superintendent sticks around. So the community needs to rebuild trust with a fresh start.
Emily, is there anyone who is for keeping the superintendent around?
The most surprising praise I got was from Mark Holm. He was appointed this summer.
Back in May, I'm like, this superintendent's got to go. Well, I did my homework, looked in to see what's going on, got behind the scenes, and no, she's doing a really good job.
He said that if they terminate her contract early, they have to pay her extra in severance pay. So he's not for that, and he actually likes her. There's a coalition of 4 running together that want to evaluate her while in their seats and give her support first. It's led by Ronald Baker, who's an advanced practice nurse, and the husband of the current board member, Janina Baker, who is leaving the board.
A diverse group of people that would give the superintendent support to support some of the work and would be able to evaluate her appropriately.
And then I also want to add there are 3 people who declined to participate in my survey, Christy Arnold, Roselle Beausoleil, and Tony Bruno. And in the News Gazette, they all said that they were not in favor of keeping the superintendent.
So the candidates have differing opinions on whether to renew the superintendent's contract. Does that type of disagreement extend to any other issues?
they do agree. A lot of them agree on, for example, whether to make a statement about immigration agents coming to schools. For example, Fatima Ahmed said this.
I think when we're silent, we're sending the wrong message. I think our families need to know that schools are safe places to send their kids.
Mark Holmes said that ICE is not coming to schools, but he did explain what the board is currently planning to do. Bring in some lawyers, have any immigration agents go to the headquarters first before they go back to the schools after they've analyzed, is this a proper permit? Grace King, in the survey that I sent out, she was actually a little bit worried about the schools becoming a target if the school district puts out a strong statement, which is something that is a worry on the board right now.
Emily, what are some of the other issues at play in this race?
There are many. There's the teacher contract coming up. I was surprised by how many people were in favor of reopening the issue of redistricting, what I've been calling kind of desegregating the district more fully. That was not popular when the board brought it up a couple of years ago. Here's Grace King.
When we look at schools of choice, perhaps revising that model to ensure that all schools have the resources.
She said that if they communicate the issue earlier, then they would have more success. She's an education professor at Illinois State University.
I've been talking with Emily Hayes, education reporter at Illinois Public Media. You can find her guide to the candidates running for the Champaign Unit 4 School Board at ipmnewsroom.org. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Brendan Gallion, Mawa Iqbal, Alyssa Eaton, Dave McKinney, and Emily Hayes. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.